अथ तृतीयोऽध्यायः कर्मयोगः। अर्जुन उवाच जायसि चेत् कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन जायसि चेत् कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे माम् नियोजयसि केशव तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे माम् नियोजयसि केशव So the third chapter begins with Arjuna's question based on the second chapter. This is called Anuprasnaha. Atato Anuprasnaha Uta Vidva Namum Lokam Pretya Kascha Nagachati Taitava Prasa. Anuprasna, that's called Anuprasna section. So if you ask a fresh question, it is called a Prasna. If you ask a fresh question, it's called Prasna. But if you ask a question based on a discussion, then it is called Anuprasna. So this is called Anuprasna. So after I say something, if you ask a question, then it is called Anuprasna. Which means thinking is necessary. For somebody to ask a question based on a discussion, the person has to think before he asks that question. So thinking is necessary. If not, no question will arise. Whatever the teacher will teach, the students are happy. They will nod and leave. No problem. They understood everything. No question of discussion at all. But Arjuna is not a passive student. Arjuna is a yogi. He is an adhikari. He's not a passive student. What is the question he is asking? If you really look back to the second chapter, how does Krishna start? Asochyan anusochastvam prajnavadamscha bhashase gatasun gatasunscha na anusochanti panditaha. That is how he started. Panditaha, he said. Right? The wise people. Wise people. He started the teaching with panditaha, which means what? Wisdom, jnanam and not karma. He is talking about panditas. He is talking about wisdom. He is talking about jnanam and not karma at all. And many other slokas, they were also devoted to for what? Jnanam. They were all jnanam only. Veda, avinashina vityam, yayenam, ajamavyayam, katam sapurusha partham, kam gatayati, kanti kam. Ascharyavatim, Pashyati, Kaschidenam, all these slokas talk about what? Jnanam only. They are all talking about jnanam. And this is how he begins with jnanam. Krishna begins with jnanam. And how did he conclude the teaching in the second chapter? Siddha prajnam, tasya prajna pratishtita. Then again he talks about jnanam. So in beginning also he introduced jnanam. Ending also he ended with jnanam. So started with wisdom, ended with wisdom. Karma came in between. He came karma, karmanyevadikaraste, all those slokas, he brought in between. So from this, Arjuna, he got the impression, since jnanam was talked about in the beginning, jnanam is also talked about at the end, and since karma was only talked in between in a casual manner, a little bit, Arjuna thought jnanam is the most important, correctly he thought. And that's the truth also. He thought jnanam is the most important thing, and karma is inferior, jnanam is superior. This was Arjuna's mind. Okay. So out of the entire second chapter discussion, Arjuna got this message. Jnanam is superior, karma is inferior. There are two things, jnanam and karma. Jnanam is superior. Okay. So naturally, what Arjuna thinks is, if there are two things, one is superior, one is inferior, what will you choose? Naturally, we will choose what is superior. Jnanam only is what we will choose. So if jnanam is superior, I should choose only jnanam. So Krishna should ask him, what he should ask him? To go to a teacher, get jnanam and get liberation. That is what he should have asked him to do. Because he himself told jnanam is superior. But what Krishna is telling? Get into action, fight. So he himself told you Jnanam is superior. So instead of asking him to go to your teacher, get Jnanam and go to Moksha, he is telling him, leave everything, fight. That's what he is telling him. So he says, Panditaha na anusochanti. Wise men do not grieve in life at all. That's what he said. Krishna said. Dukkeshu anudvigramanaha, he said. So, and ultimately, you are asking me to do karma now. This is what you taught, but you are asking me to do karma now. Yogastha kuru karmani. That's what you tell me. You are asking me to do. So, you are asking me to do karma, but all the time you are praising jnana. How is it possible? Right? It's not possible at all. So, this is Arjuna's problem. He says, O Krishna, chet matha. Matha means you consider, you think. So, if you consider, buddhihi karmanaha jayasi. This is the main part here. Buddhihi means jnana. Buddhihi means jnanam. Jayasi means superior. If jnanam is superior, karmanaha to karma. If jnanam is superior to karma, if you consider the jnanam is superior to karma, then why should you ask me to follow only jnanam and why you are asking me to follow karma? Tat. Tat means then. Tarhi. Kim karmani maam niyojayasi. Why do you ask me to do this karma? This karma means this fight, this war. Niyojayasi means you are persuading me. You are forcing me. You are compelling me to fight this war. You should tell me to go away and seek a teacher and learn Vedanta. That's what you should have done. But you are asking me to do this karma, to do this fight. And here the problem is still worse. Why? If the karma has been a pleasant karma, okay, fine. I can do a pleasant karma, no problem at all. But here you are asking me to fight for whom? Bhishma and Drona, you are asking to fight them. And so this karma is not an ordinary karma, it is gore karma. It's a gore karma, not a nice karma, but it's a killing karma, killing my own people. You are asking me to killing my own people, so they are all Mahanubhavan. Mahanubhavan Guru Sattva. So that's what you are asking me to do. I have to kill Bhishma and Drona and all these people, which is not going to be an easy, a happy affair at all. So Arjuna asked a special adjective, gore karma, gore karma. Karma, gore karma, which is even more inferior. So jnanam is superior, karma is inferior, gore karma is even inferior. So you are asking me to take up that. When you told me jnanam is the most superior one. So you are asking me to fight, O Keshava, O Janardana, I am not able to understand your intention at all. That is my confusion. So he further explains the confusion in the next sloka. Vyamishreneva vakyena.
Vyamishreneva vakyena. Vyamishreneva vakyena.
Buddhim mohaya sivame.
Buddhim mohaya sivame. Buddhim mohaya sivame.
Vyamishreneva vakyena. Buddhim mohaya sivame.
Vyamishreneva vakyena. Buddhim mohaya sivame.
Tadekam vada nischitya.
Tadekam vada nischitya. Tadekam vada nischitya.
Yena shreyoham apnuyam.
Yena shreyoham apnuyam. Yena shreyoham apnuyam.
Tadekam vada nischitya. Yena shreyoham apnuyam.
Tadekam vada nischitya. Yena shreyoham apnuyam. Tadekam vada nischitya.
O Krishna, I thought you are going to remove my confusion. That is why I surrendered to you. Prichamitvam dharmasam mudachetaha. Because I had all my confusion. But what now happens? My confusion is confounding. I am getting more confused now. I am more confused now. Buddhim mohayasi. You are giving me more confusion now. Mohayasi, confusing, deluding. You are deluding me even more. How are you confusing? Vyamishrena vyakhyena. By contradictory statement. Vyamishra means contradictory. Literally it is mixed up. That is Vyamishra. So by contradictory statements, you are really confusing me. What is the contradiction in Krishna's statement? He started with Panditaha Anisochanti. Wise men do not grieve. So what should be his recommendation? Go to a teacher, wise man. But he did not do that. He is asking to do karma. Kuru karmani. That's what Yogastha. Kuru karmani. That is, you are praising jnanam at one end, but asking me to do karma, which is a vyamishrena vyakhyana. Okay. But suddenly Arjuna remembered, what is the qualification of the student? He just remembered. Guru vakyeshu shraddha. So, what is shraddha? guru vedanta vakyadishu vishwasaha shraddha. Whatever the teacher says is what shastram says. Teacher does not say anything himself. Whatever shastram says, only teacher says. So you have to have faith in the teaching of the teacher, because that is the faith in the teaching of the shastra. That's what you are supposed to have. And what faith? That guru does not want to mislead me. That is the faith he should have. Right? So this must be always remembered. So the moment we doubt the teacher, the problems will all arise. So many problems will come. Doubt the teacher means what? Doubt the shastra. Because he teaches only the shastra, which means doubting Bhagavan himself. Shastras are given by whom? By the Lord himself. Vedas are given by the Lord himself. So the moment you doubt the shastras, doubt the Vedas, you are doubting the very Lord himself. So if the teacher is not confusing, so that means teacher will not confuse. Because he is teaching, then what is the problem now? Student only should have the problem. There are only two people. Teacher is not confusing, so only student will have it. Be the one who got confused. For whatever reason it is, he got confused. So a student always puts the blame on himself if it is a sincere student. If it is a uttama student, he will always put the blame on himself. It is not clear to me. It is not, I am not understanding. He will not say, you didn't explain. That teacher, normally our children, the moment they get a bad thing, oh, that teacher didn't explain properly. That's what normally. Here it is not the case. So do not blame the teacher. So he concludes that the teacher does not confuse me, but I have got some problem. Some snag in my intellect, or I have a notion or an attitude or whatever I have that I am not able to get it clear. So instead of blaming the teacher, he should try to understand it first. So when we read scriptures normally, our attitude should be always that way. We should not say, oh, this is all superstitious, this is all this, all this, we should not immediately discount. Let us try to understand. If you do not understand ourselves, go to some people who can at least explain to us. Or one person may not be adequate, 10 people may have to go. You have to go till you understand. You have to have the faith that shastras are correct. That faith should be there fundamentally. So we should seek help to understand them properly, since they will, otherwise it will be very confusing. Arjuna has the shraddha, so he adds a very beautiful word here, vyamishrena iva vakyena. Yamishrena iva vyakyena, that iva, that shows Arjuna's attitude. So your statement looks as though they are confusing. They are not confusing, they look as though they are confusing. Yamishrena, you know how the scriptures, how our rishis have put this, Yamishrena iva vakyena. So I know you won't make contradictory statements, you are Lord. You won't make contradictory statements at all, but for me, I got confused as I am, it appears as though contradictory for me. And there is another eva also in the same sloka. This is one eva, Vyamishrena eva. Another eva is Buddhim Mohayashi eva. There is another eva also. And I know you are not confusing me, but for me it is confusing. That's what he says. Actually Shankaracharya, he writes, Mama Manda Buddhehe. Because I am a person of limited intellect, Manda Buddhi. That is why it is not understanding to me. So you are great, you are teaching correctly, but my buddhi is what? Manda buddhi. I am not, mama manda buddhi. Since I am not intelligent, for me it appears confusing, but I know you are not confusing. So vyamishrena eva vakya. This is called shraddha, very very important when we approach a teacher. When we approach shastras, shraddha, faith is most important. So what I want some more clarification so that my confusion can be cleared up. Maybe you may give a different example perhaps to make me understand, or make a different approach. You can do all those things to make me understand. Or let me prepare some more and let me go home, think, read some more and come back. All these things I can do to understand more. That is why we have so many Vedantic texts. Vedantic texts, there are so many Upanishads. There are Upanishads are countless in number. Why? They are all talking about only one subject. The entire Upanishad subject is only one. Why there should be so many? Because each one approaches differently. There may be so many students who may have different angles, who may have different confusions, who may have to be explained differently. So in many Upanishads have a lot of stories in them. They are explained in so many ways because that is how the confusions can be removed. So for some, raga dvesha may be a problem, biggest problem for some people. For some people, intelligence is a problem. He is manda buddhi perhaps. So many things it can be there. So they have, for people, they have some read some books and they have got some already preconceived notion. You have to first undo that and then give fresh now. That is another problem. Because people have different understandings, wrong understandings. They have to be all erased. Actually, you know, this is a story. A guy came to learn from some teacher. So the teacher asked, did you learn from somebody or are you learning first time from me? He asked, so how does it matter? Does it matter? He said, if you are learning from me first time, the fees is 100 rupees. If you have learned from somebody and come to the fees, it's 200 rupees. I have to undo what he has. So this is all wrong understandings can be there. For someone bhakti, you know, he will think bhakti alone will give moksha. There are people who will think bhakti alone will give mokta. If you tell him that bhakti also is only a means to get jnanam, he will shatter it. He cannot understand that at all. There are people who are so much into bhakti, if you tell them bhakti is only a means to get jnanam, he's going to think, what, I'm going to reach Lord by this and you are telling me what is only a means, what does it mean? So he cannot understand that at all. So it becomes very difficult for such people to swallow. So that's why Ramakrishna says, he was so much engrossed in saguna bhakti, having an idol of a Lord and worshipping the Lord with all his good characteristics. So he was so much engrossed in saguna bhakti, when the teacher talked about nirgunam Brahman, he found it very difficult to swallow. For a person who is so much into saguna bhakti, if you tell that Brahman is nirgunam, very difficult for him to swallow very easily. So people may believe that all roads will lead to moksha, but Vedanta doesn't believe. People may believe that all roads will not moksha, but Vedantic teacher will always say, no, only jnana marga alone leads to moksha. All other roads may lead to jnana marga perhaps, but to moksha only jnana marga is the only way. So many students cannot swallow this. Very difficult for them. So giving up a notion or an idea is difficult for two reasons. Number one, your faith is so much in that. Number two, also your ego is also so high in that, because you are not amenable to somebody else's other point of view. So we may get angry with the teacher possibly. So that is why, you know, in Sahanavatu, in that this thing, Ma Vidvishavahai. Always, you know, do not blame the teacher, do not get quarrel with the teacher. I should not have hatred towards the teacher, all those things and quarrel. I should try to understand. So Vedantic teaching is not easy. So many problems may come, but all these will be solved if the student has Shraddha in Shastra. He should believe teacher teaches what is in Shastra, and he should have Shraddha in the Shastra. So Arjuna says, Tat ekam vada, tadekam vada. O Krishna, tell me one thing to follow. Don't tell me jnanam and karma and all that thing. They are all confusing to me. Tell me one thing, because we are all used to ready recommends. Somebody has to give me something on this spoon, fine, I'm happy. So tadekam vada. Do not introduce jnana and karma, two things, and confuse me. Ekam vada, tat ekam vada. And if there are too many things to choose from, do not ask me to choose also. You choose for me and give it to me. That is all, because now this is the problem, you know, when we all went to college, they will have only a group, first group, mathematics, physics, chemistry, second group, some biology, some chemistry, easy to take. Now today, if you go to college to take courses, they give a book. And in that book, there are a million courses. And the teacher has to go to a counselor to find out what courses he has to take. You have to spend days with them. It's all a problem, because there are so many choices. So Arjuna wants the simplest, ready reckoner. Give me tadekam vata, give me only one thing. Therefore, nischitya. You yourself think well before you tell me. You don't ask me to think. You think well. Take my condition to account. In what condition I am? I am in the middle of the war. I am fighting my guru and all these people. Take all these into consideration. So nischitya. You think before them and think, give me the final advice. Tell me, do this, I'll do that. Yena aham shreyaha apnuyam. Tell me one sadhana clearly by which I will attain moksha. Shreyas. Yena sadhanena, by which means aham shreyaha apnuyam. I shall attain shreyas. Shreyas means moksha. But as far as the problem is what? If for Arjuna's sake, Krishna only thinks, okay, Arjuna says, you think and tell me. So for the sake of Arjuna, Krishna may take, oh, poor student, after all, I love him so much. Let me think and then give him the solution. No problem. Arjuna might like it, right? Maybe easy for him. That's what he wants. Then the understanding will come to whom? Will come to Krishna only. If he starts thinking, right? It will come to him. So I think for your sake. Understanding will come to, it will come to me only. Because I am analyzing and thinking, it will come to me only. So for your understanding, who has to think? The student only has to think. That is why we said earlier, there is a difference between knowledge and a commandment. Knowledge is by your own understanding. Commandment is out of obedience. If somebody says, do this, you do that. You don't have to understand anything. That doctor gives you a pill, you just swallow it. Doctor has the understanding whether the pill will work for you or not. He has the understanding. I do not worry about it. So commandment is action. You need not think. Doctor prescribes, you take it. That's what it takes. So In action, thinking is not necessary. In Karmakanda portion, thinking can be avoided. In all the rituals, all thinking need not be there, just to go on doing. This step, next step, next step, next step, just to go on. If big yajna is done, so many steps are there. You don't have to think at all, keep on doing it. They are, actually, there are instructions. So they will all give instructions, you just obey them. But in moksha, which is not an action, karma is action. Moksha is not an action, moksha is out of understanding. So whomsoever wants moksha, what he has to do? He has to think to understand. There is no other method. So Arjuna has to think. So Krishna is going to force Arjuna to think now. He is not going to give him the solution. He is going to force Arjuna to think. So there is no other way here. So he has to tell various things. You have to analyze. You have to discuss. You will have doubts. And they all have to be clarified. And there is only one tedious method. That is called Vicharena Eva Jnanam. Vicharena Eva, by inquiry alone, one can get Jnanam. Vedanta Shravanam, Shravanam, by listening to Vedanta Shravanam, na Jnanam Janayati, Vedanta Vicharaha Eva Jnanam. It will allow. So only thinking in Vedanta, that alone will give knowledge. So Krishna is again forcing Arjuna to think. So he begins the teaching from the third sloka, where he makes actually certain points here. Between karma and jnanam, there is no choice at all. He makes certain points here that we are going to see that thing. Actually, I can read the sloka perhaps and then we can. Because there's a discussion that has to follow. I can ask to read the sloka and then we can go for it.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha.
Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha. Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha.
Pura Prokta Mayanagha.
Pura Prokta Mayanagha. Pura Prokta Mayanagha.
Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha. Pura Prokta Mayanagha.
Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha. Pura Prokta Mayanagha. Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha. Pura Prokta Mayanagha.
Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam.
Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam.
Karma Yogena Yoginam.
Karma Yogena Yoginam. Karma Yogena Yoginam.
Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. Karma Yogena Yoginam.
Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. Karma Yogena Yoginam. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. Karma Yogena Yoginam.
So Krishna makes certain points here. Between karma and jnanam. Because Arjuna's question was, don't tell me karma, jnanam, everything. Tell me one thing. Here Krishna says, between karma and jnanam, there is no choice at all. You cannot say, I will choose karma over jnanam or jnanam over karma. There is no choice between them at all. Since there is no choice between the two, there is no question of which is superior or which is inferior. Only when there is a choice, you can say, this is superior, so I will have a choice of this. There is no choice at all, so you cannot say whether this is superior or that is superior. There is no question of superiority or inferiority at all in them. So one can make a comparative study and come to a conclusion only when there is a choice present, whereas in this case there is no choice. So the conclusion is what? There can be choice only when there are two distinct paths. If there is a karma yoga one path, jnana yoga one path, two distinct paths, then you can have a choice. Krishna says comparison between them is also possible when they are distinct. When there is no choice, there is no question of which is superior. Everybody has to go through both the paths. You have to go through karma path and you have to also go through jnana path. Therefore, if karma also leads to liberation and jnana also leads to liberation, then you can ask which is superior, but that is not the case. But Krishna makes it very, very clear that everyone will require karma and jnana for gaining moksha. Go to moksha, you want needs both. Because there are not two parallel roads, but they are connected in the form of upaya and upaya. They are connected in the form, one leads to the other road. Karma yoga leads to jnana yoga. Jnana yoga leads to jnanam and moksha. So So one leads to the other road, one path leads to the other path, and the other path leads to liberation. So for somebody to go to liberation, one has to go through this entire path. So two paths do not separately lead to liberation, but one leads to the other and the other leads to liberation. So karma and jnana are inevitable to follow. We have to understand that very clearly. To go to moksha. Then the next question would be what? What is the sequence one has to practice? Can I gain jnanam first? Then I go to get jnanam and then do karma, or do karma and jnanam? We have to again remember, karma marga is the first path which leads the person to jnana marga. Karma marga does not itself lead to moksha. So karma marga is the first path. You cannot even change the order. They both have to be followed, and only in this sequence, karma first and jnana. At the same time, karma marga is good enough to take a person to jnana marga, which is a very great service itself. Because to go to jnana marga is not easy. So karma marga will take a person to that. For example, if I am thirsty to drink something, I need a container. But container itself will not quench my thirst. But I need a container to pour water and drink. So container helps me to drink, but container will not quench my thirst directly. So we should not ask whether karma or jnana is better. We should never ask that question. Initially follow karma, later it will lead you to jnana marga and subsequently to moksha. These are all fundamental things which you have to understand clearly. But Krishna introduces another important topic also here, which is regarding the lifestyle. This is where this discussion may tend to be a little boring, especially for the afternoon. Which is called here nishtha. The lifestyle Krishna calls nishtha. In the sloka, if you see the word nishtha, it is otherwise known as ashrama. We can call it lifestyle or ashrama, grahastha ashrama, brahmacharya ashrama. This is called nishtha here. So lifestyle in the olden days, it was indicated by the ashrama a person is in. If he is a brahmacharya ashrama, what is the lifestyle he has to follow? So also different lifestyle for a grahastha ashrami, for a vanaprastha ashrami, for a sannyasa ashrami. So these are all different lifestyles they have to follow. Of these four, the main two lifestyles are the grahastha ashrama and sannyasa ashrama. Because brahmacharya ashrama is only a preparation for grahastha ashrama, so you can include it as both. And vanaprastha ashrama is again a preparation for sannyasa ashrama, so you can club them into both. So you have got now only two ashramas, grahastha ashrama and sannyasa ashrama. So that's for the sake of our discussion. Okay. So two main lifestyles are these two. So what Krishna wants to emphasize is, with respect to nishtha or lifestyle, one can have a choice. I can have a choice of which lifestyle I want to choose. Whether I want to be a grahastha ashrami or whether I want to be a sannyasa ashrami. I don't want to go through grahastha ashrami at all. I want to directly jump from brahmachari into sannyasi. Fine. That choice I can have. So one can have a choice of lifestyle, what lifestyle a person has to follow. One can have. A person can come from grahastha ashrami throughout his life. And he may not become sannyasi at all. No problem at all. He can remain in grahastha ashrami throughout the life. So it's all possible. So there is a choice in the ashrama, there is a choice in the nishtha. So when I say nishtha, understand it is ashrama or lifestyle, nishtha. But in sadhana, this is with respect to the ashrama. But when it comes to sadhana, karma and jnanam, there is no choice. There is choice in the lifestyle, but in the sadhana, there is no choice. In the sadhana, there is no choice. In karma and jnanam, both must be there. So whether a person is the grahastha ashrami, he can go to moksha also. He has to go through both karma marga and jnana marga, karma yoga and jnana yoga. A person might have gone directly into sannyasa ashrama. There also he cannot serve both. He cannot say, I have become a sannyasi, let me go to jnana marga only. No. There also he has to follow the karma yoga as prescribed for a sannyasi. And then also go through the karma yoga and jnana yoga. That's what he should do. So whatever may be the lifestyle a person chooses, he has to follow both the sadhanas, karma marga and jnana marga. So if one takes the grahastha ashrama lifestyle, the initial part of the grahastha ashrama should be dedicated to service. He can do a lot of service, he can do a lot of activity, he can do a lot of karma. All these can be done in the initial portion because he will be young also. He can do a lot of, he can be active, he can do all these activities. But we should not ask how long this should be done. As long as he can get chitta shuddhi by this. For some people it can be 10 years, for some people 20 years, for some people this entire janma is not adequate. For them to get chitta shuddhi, it depends on the individual. So when I can get purity of mind by being in karma yoga, then that is enough I can follow jnana. If not, if I still have all the raga dveshas are there, I have still all these qualities, then I have to again refine myself more and more. So there is nothing like a prescribed period of time that a person has to be in karma marga and then go to jnana marga. Okay. So that's why normally, you know, people, they are employed somewhere and they are tired when they are employed. And after employed, what they do? They retire. Again they are tired. They are again tired. Because that's what people do. Because even after retirement means you reach a certain level. At that level, mind, attitudes, all those things are supposed to change for the better. But still he is the same. Again. So it is only retired. So initial part of life will be dedicated to karma yoga sadhana, and later, even though he can continue in grahastha ashrama, that portion of life can be spent in jnana marga. That's what. So in grahastha ashrama itself, a person can be in a karma yoga and jnana yoga. He will have a secluded life being a grahastha himself. He can do that. So he is internally a sannyasi only. At that time, he is internally a sannyasi only. One is by reducing his karma and activities. He reduces all of them. He is reducing all of them and devoting more time for what? To jnana yoga sadhana. So leaves the responsibilities, the children, daughter-in-law, the son, all those things, he leaves all those things and he only does Vedanta Vichara at that time after fulfilling all his responsibilities. He cannot shirk responsibility. He cannot just run away and then say, okay, I'll go this. If he has taken to grahastha ashrama, he has to fulfill his responsibilities and do it as a karma yoga and then go towards this jnana marga. So if you want to use another terminology, this person would be a detached grahastha. We don't call him sannyasi, we call him a detached grahastha. And having become a detached grahastha, he should spend more time on jnana sadhana, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all those things he should be spending. Then depending on family affairs, where the son went, where the daughter-in-law went, what function they attended. It's all that problem. You are not driver anymore, let them do it. No problem at all. So in the same way, in sannyasa ashrama also, it is known as jnana yoga or jnana yoga nishta. That is sannyasa ashrama. Jnana yoga nishta, everyone has to go through both the sadhanas there also. So in the initial part of the sannyasi life is what? Is given to activities. He will be doing a lot of activities which befit a sannyasi. He will be doing activities which befit a sannyasi. Some mantropadesha will be given. Some service to guru he will be doing. He will be in an ashrama, servicing to his guru. And service to the ashrama, he will be following yamas, niyamas, all those things he will do. Lot of abhyasas he will do. All are karma yoga only for a sannyasi. All these things are all karma yoga for a sannyasi. So in almost all the Upanishads, we can find that the moment a student goes to the teacher, the teacher never gives a teaching to him. He asks him to remain in the ashrama for some time and gives him all the errands. This job and that, fine, bring firewood, all the clean these things and make sure that the agni is fine. All these jobs he gives the student for quite some time and then try to train him. Actually, this is why, so samvatsaram brahmacharyam samvatsatyasya. So that's what actually in personal Upanishad, they normally talk about all these things in various Upanishads. For one full year, they devote the student to only learn all the arms, all the other things and train them one full year. And in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, when Indra went to learn to Brahmaji, he made him learn, remain as a thing for 36 odd years. Of course, Indra has a long lifetime span, he can live for 36 years, no problem. For others, that's a long time to be trained. So he can be trained for that long. So even if a person takes the sannyasa, the initial part is not for Vedanta, it is for only purification of the person. Chitta Siddhi only. And even upasanas are prescribed because he has to have chitta ekagrata also, concentration should be there. So upasana, japa, yoga, vyasa, gurus, susrusha, they are all done. Washing the teacher's clothes, all these things are all part of his services. So when he has gone through the karma yoga sadhana, thereafter he comes to jnana yoga sadhana. Ultimately, both the grahastha and sannyasi, they become jnani. So he can become a jnani remaining in grahastha ashrama in one case. Another one can become a jnani remaining in sannyasa ashrama. Both will become liberated. One becomes a jnani remaining in grahastha ashrama, another in sannyasa ashrama. So if you look at the sloka now, anagha, Krishna is addressing Arjuna as anagha. Anaga, agam means papam, sin. Anaga means na vidyate agam yasesaha anagaha. The one who is always pure is anagaha. The one who is pure. Oh, pure-minded Arjuna, that's how he is addressing him. Asmin loke nishta vivida. Asmin loke, in this world, nishta. Nishta means the lifestyle, vivida, twofold. There are two folds of lifestyle. Pura maya prokta. This is not new, I am telling you now, which has been introduced by me long ago in the scriptures. I have given this long ago in the scriptures. That is, what is at the time of Srishti, at the time of creation itself, it is given out by me. Because I am the Lord, I have given out at that time. I have divided the lifestyles into two. Okay. How did the Lord divide them? Through the Vedic teaching, that is called Vedadvara, he has divided them. So I am the Lord who gave out the Vedas in the beginning, and they talk about these two types of lifestyles. Actually, in Isavasya Upanishad, which is, you know, the Veda, the two lifestyles are given there. Kurvannevehem karmani jijivishechata gamsamaha. This is pravritti marga. It is a social service lifestyle. Pravritti marga, it is socially active lifestyle. Tena tektena bunjita magratam kasyat siddhanam. That's what he says. That is the secluded lifestyle. So yes, lifestyle which is active lifestyle and a lifestyle which is a secluded lifestyle. Active lifestyle is a grahastha ashrama, secluded lifestyle is a sannyasa ashrama. So that Lord himself has given these two paths in the Vedic teaching. So Puramaya Prakta, I have given it long ago. And of these two, the first one is called Jnana Yoga Nishtha, a secluded lifestyle, and that is a withdrawn, it's a sannyasi lifestyle. And this lifestyle is for whom? Who want that lifestyle? Krishna calls them by a technical name here, Sankhyana. He calls those people who want to be in this lifestyle by a technical name, Sankhyana. Those who prefer secluded life, they are all introvert people. These are all introvert people. Actually, Shankaracharya calls them Brahmacharya Deva Krutam Sannyasthana. These are all people who have been from the Brahmacharya Ashrama itself. They are all detached. Such people, Sannyasthana. For them, the grahastha lifestyle was never attractive at all. For such people, they always preferred a sannyasi lifestyle. And the second lifestyle is what? Karma yogena, karma yoga nishtha. Karma yoga nishtha, which is an active, which is a social life, a life with many people, with lot of activities around. These people are always in the midst of people and company, with many involvements. So karma yogena means karma yoga nishtaya. Karma yoga means karma yogi nishtaya. We are talking about a lifestyle which is an active lifestyle, which is sadhana. It's not an ordinary lifestyle. So through karma yoga nishtha, the second people, they pursue moksha. And they are called yogina yogi. So they are called sankhyana when they go through jnana yoga nishtha. And karma yoga nishtha, they are called yogina, yogis. That's the name he is given. So the word yogi in Gita has to be understood very clearly, because there are a lot of instances Krishna uses the word yogi with different meanings. You have to be very careful in understanding the meaning. So here yogi means people who are grahasthas. Here yogi means people who are in family life. So sankhya means who is a sannyasi. Here sankhya means a person who is in a secluded life, a sannyasi life. And yogi means who is in the active life, who is in the grahastha life. So those people, the yogis who are in active life, who are in grahastha lifestyle, they are pravritti margasthanam, karma yogenam, and nivritti margasthanam, jnana yogenam. So these are the two types of lifestyle for which we can have a choice. I can have a choice which lifestyle I want to choose. So from brahmacharya, I can jump directly to sannyasa ashrama. I don't have to go through grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha. I can directly jump. For somebody, they can go to grahastha ashrama, may not become sannyasi at all. So there is a choice for a person to be in this ashrama or in that ashrama, because ashrama by itself does not contribute to moksha. All this we have to understand very clearly. Normally we think akar rope leads to moksha. No. The ashrama itself does not lead to moksha. A person can be a sannyasi, but a worst samsari forever. He can be a sannyasi. He can be externally a sannyasi with akar ropes, all those things he can have, but he can be the worst samsari also. That is possible. While a grahastha may be a great jnani. Actually, Krishna himself is going to talk about Janaka and other people. They are all grahasthas, but they are all great jnanis. So that is possible. So lifestyle does not contribute to moksha. So dress, shaving. So for example, if many of these sannyasis, they completely shave and all these things. None of those things lead to moksha at all. They are dresses, they are all external symbols. They don't lead to moksha themselves. దట్ ఇస్ వై శంకర హీ గివ్స్ ఇన్ భజగోవింద బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ జటిలో ముండీం లుచిత లుంచిత కేశ కాషాయాంబర బహుకృత వేష పశ్యన్నాపిన పశ్యతి మూఢ కుదరమితం కుదరనిమిత్తం బహుకృత వేష. Because if you go to all these Rishikesh and all these people, you will see a lot of these Mundi sannyasis. So many people give annadana mandal. So for the sake of giving, getting food, many of these guys, you know, they can all, you know, they act like sannyasis. We don't even know who they are. So Yudharanamittam, Bahukrita Vesha. They put all kinds of Vesha. So throughout Sankaracharya says, changing the ashrama is not going to lead to moksha at all. One cannot say, okay, I'll change from this ashrama to that ashrama, so I'll get moksha. No, it's not possible. So certain words may be changed. So when you become a sannyasi, instead of calling food, what will it be called? It will be called a bhiksha. So the house where you live, you call it a house, it's a hermitage. Only those words are changed. Maybe his dress becomes an akar dress compared to your dress. His bhiksha patra becomes whatever it is. So there is no other change except these changes by doesn't guarantee a person to go to moksha because he changed the ashram. Because liberation, moksha, is dependent only on jnanam and not on the lifestyle. Changing the ashrama, one will not be liberated. So if jnanam is not there, he is not liberated whether he is a grahastha or a sannyasi. Because these are all wrong conceptions people have. That is the reason why I repeat it so many times. So the conclusion is what? In sadhana there is a choice. There is no choice. In sadhana there is no choice, but in the nishtha there is choice. Lifestyle, there is choice, sadhana. So what will be the next question then? In sadhana there is no choice, so I cannot ask the question which is better. I have to follow both karma and jnana, both I have to follow. But Krishna has said that there is choice in nishtha. Then my question will be, which nishtha is better? Whether being a grahastha is better or being a sannyasi is better? Grahastha, that question I can have. So if there is a choice in nishtha, naturally the question will be, which nishtha is better? Or put it in Vedantic language, is Karma Yoga Nishtha is better or Jnana Yoga Nishtha is better? Nishtha, remember, not the sadhana. An active lifestyle is better or a secluded lifestyle, a passive lifestyle is better. A social lifestyle or a secluded lifestyle, which is better, that will be the question. And Krishna is going to vote for the active lifestyle only. Krishna is going to vote for not the sannyasi life. The grahastha life, an active life only, namely the grahastha ashrama, an active lifestyle or karma yoga nishtha. That is what he is voting for. He says that is superior to jnana yoga nishtha. We have to be very careful. Karma yoga is not superior to jnana yoga, not sadhana. Karma yoga nishtha, a lifestyle, that is superior to that lifestyle. But jnanam is always superior. There is no question on that. Not, we are not talking about the sadhana. We are talking about the nishtha. So avoiding activity is not better. One cannot say, I will avoid activity and be secluded, sit in a corner and do this and that. He says that is not better. Remain in the environment of an active life always. So Krishna recommends, be in the environment of active lifestyle. That alone is good for you. That is what he is continuing in the further shlokas. Now it's close to 4:30. If I take next shloka, it's going to be 15 more minutes. Shall we stop here? I'll do one shloka for that. Na karmana manarambhana.
Na karmana manarambhana.
Naishkarmyam purushosnute.
Naishkarmyam purushosnute. Naishkarmyam purushosnute.
Na karmana manarambhana. Naishkarmyam purushosnute.
Na karmana manarambhana. Naishkarmyam purushosnute.
సిద్ధిం సమది గచ్చతి సిద్ధిం సమది గచ్చతి Now in the following three shlokas, 4, 5 and 6, Krishna gives the reason why an active lifestyle is better than a secluded or passive lifestyle. He is going to give actually three different reasons in each shloka, one reason. First one is, avoidance of activity does not contribute to moksha. Okay. So karma chagena na moksha. By avoiding action, one cannot get to moksha. That is the first thing. And second thing is, in fact, total avoidance of activity is not possible. Total avoidance of activity, karma tyagaha na sakyate. It's not possible. And the third reason is, on the other hand, avoidance of activity may cause adverse effects also. By avoiding action, it may lead to even adverse effects, may be even dangerous. So karma tyagaha viparita palam cha janayet. It can give rise to even adverse results. So now each sloka is going to give one reason, and all the three reasons in each one of the slokas. The fourth sloka, it is going to talk about the first reason. That means, what are the first reasons? Avoidance of activity does not contribute to moksha. It will not give to moksha. So karma tyagena na moksha. Now when we see the sloka, karmanam anarambhat purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. Here naishkarmyam means moksha. Naishkarmyam refers to moksha. Naishkarmyam literally means actionlessness. That's what it means, naishkarmyam. Actually, we are going to explain this in some other context later, why moksha is defined as actionlessness later. We are going to talk about moksha is called here actionlessness. That's what naishkarmyam means. But we'll see the explanation later. But anarambaha. Anarambaha means non-performance, non-doing or avoiding action. Anarambaha. Karmanam anarambad. By the avoidance of activity. Karmana anarambad means by the avoidance of activity. Purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. A person, purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute, can never attain. Na ashnute, can never attain moksha. Naishkarmyam. Actually, this may appear contradicting sometimes. Because we said earlier that by doing karma, moksha is not possible. That's what we said. Now we say, by avoiding karma, moksha is not possible. You see how it is contradicting? Earlier we said, by doing karma, moksha is not possible. But now we are saying, by avoiding karma, moksha is not possible. So what do we really want to say? Because this is what Krishna is telling. What he really wants to say? What we say is, by avoiding karma, moksha is not at all possible. By avoiding karma, moksha is not at all possible. But by doing karma, moksha is not directly possible. I can be doing karma all along. I cannot go to moksha directly. Through karma, I should get chitta siddhi, chitta naishchalyam, jnana yoga and moksha. So it is not directly possible. It is only indirectly possible through the other chain. But by doing karma, it is possible indirectly. By avoiding karma, moksha is not at all possible. But by doing karma, moksha is indirectly possible. That's what we should understand. So, karma sakshat na moksha karanam, parantu karma paramparaya moksha karanam. See, karma sakshat na moksha karanam, by karma alone. But karma paramparaya, one can go from that. So, this is what Krishna wants to say here. By avoiding karma, moksha is not at all possible. By doing karma, moksha is possible, not directly, but through the other means that I told earlier. Because by avoiding karma, moksha is not at all possible. Why? We can never go to jnana sadhanam at all. Because we will never be a karma yogi anytime. Right? Which requires chitta shuddhi, chitta naishchalyam, all that. This is the argument that should be given. So by avoiding first standard, I can never go to middle school. By avoiding middle school, I can never go to college. So this order has to be maintained. We have to do karma, we have to go through that. So Krishna says, na karmana manarambhan naishkarmyam purushaha asnute. Then Krishna might ask the question, why can't we take to sannyasashrama directly? Don't worry about all this. Let us go to sannyasashrama directly. If I am remaining grihastashrama, then I have to do karma. Because grihastashrama requires me to do karma. Because in grihastashrama, there are a lot of karmas. There are so many karmas, rituals are there, duties are there, responsibilities are there, they are all in grihastashrama. So all this should be done. But why can't I go directly to sannyasashrama so that I can avoid karma, because sannyasashrama itself, there is no karma prescribed at all in sannyasashrama. But Krishna says, nacha sannyasanadeva. But merely taking to sannyasashrama, siddhim na samadhi gacchati. A person cannot attain moksha. Siddhi means moksha. A person cannot attain moksha by just taking sannyasashrama. He cannot. The only advantage is what? He can avoid all the grahastashrama activities. There are a lot of grahastashrama activities, he can avoid all of them. But not to get moksha. He cannot go to moksha. He will have to get chitta shuddhi and chitta naishkalyam. All those he has to put. So he has to go through karma. So wherever he goes, he has to follow those ashrama karmas. Whatever ashrama karmas are there, he has to follow them for chitta shuddhi. So sannyasa ashrama is also not easy. Actually, you know, Swami Dhananda used to give a story. There used to be a temple. In the temple, there were so many workers. There is a priest there is an executive officer, there are so many guys. So they were all given some salary. And there was one sadhu who is not doing any work. He is just sitting. So for that, Sumayar Prasami, he doesn't do any work, just sitting. And they were paying twice the salary than any other priest. They were paying a lot of money to this guy. They were wondering, what is this? He is not doing anything. He is getting twice. Why? Then he said, why don't you do that for one day? to sit quiet for 5 minutes is so difficult for us. So that guy paid twice because he's not doing anything. So very difficult. So in sannyasa ashrama also, there are activities to be done. So sannyasa ashrama should not become an escapism. It should come as chitta shuddhi. Come as chitta shuddhi and jijnasa. It should come as that. So dress, etc. are not, you know, they don't change the mind. By wearing black robe, you don't become a lawyer. You have to go through the education. That's what has to be done. So nacham sannyasa nadeva. By merely taking to sannyasa ashrama, here the evakara it required indicates what? External sannyasa. Yes, sannyasa nadeva. Sannyasa nadeva. That eva refers to the external sannyasi. The one who is sannyasi by ashrama, by dress, by all these things. But he has to become sannyasi. Really, in the real sense, to get moksha. So siddhim na samadhi gacchati. A person does not get siddhi. Siddhi means moksha. He does not get moksha. Therefore, never avoid karma. Whatever may be your ashrama, whether it is grahastha ashrama or sannyasa ashrama, does not matter. Never try to avoid karma. By doing in karma, by being in the plane of karma, then only you can get chitta siddhi. You can never avoid karma. That is the first reason. So Krishna discusses the first reason in this program. We will see the other two reasons in the next course.